The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kuvule Agbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den alongside Paul Brecht. I'm Kuvule Agbayani. Happy Manawahine Wednesday. Happy Big News Wednesday. Waking up to a couple of headlines this morning. We'll also talk some, go over or recap last night's University of Hawaii versus Hawaii Pacific University baseball game that our team was covering last night. If you missed that game and after the show, driving around, need something to listen to, some nice fun listening. I know the final score doesn't really seem like it will be a fun game, but you know what? Our guys, Kyle Galdera and Alan Mia, they're quite entertaining when they bring you some baseball and very educational. Like, I think that's what I've noticed with our guys because they're pure baseball guys. They've both played the game, and Kyle, like, is just a jack of all trades when it comes to all sports, but they kind of educate you as the game goes along, and so you guys will enjoy it. It's nice listening. I encourage you guys to check it out at our podcast platforms at hawaiisportsradio.com, but we will talk about that game coming up a little later in the show and also hear from the head coaches in Rich Hill and Dane Fujinaka. But first things first, we didn't have our usual NFL Tuesday. It kind of like was delayed a little bit in the breaking news that came out today. You heard our Chaz Ontai actually just say it, but we're going to repeat it again and talk about it just a little bit, that the Bills have traded wide receiver Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans, as if CJ Stroud, the quarterback for the Texans, didn't need anything else. Now he gets a legit number one wide receiver, 30 years old. His production did kind of take a dip towards the second half of the season last year in Buffalo, but nonetheless, still a solid player. In return, the Bills receive a 2025 second round pick via the Minnesota Vikings. The Texans also receive a 2024 sixth round pick and a 2025 fifth round pick. I just can't believe that the Houston Texans continuing to make moves and doing their thing to the, I want to say a shock, but not really. I mean, it's nice to see all that they are doing compared to their in-state other team, that is the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm like, who the heck else is in Texas? That's how bad the offseason's been for the Cowboys.
Like, I can imagine Dallas fans are just going crazy seeing not only moves that the Houston Texans are doing, well, also you see a solid quarterback that they have in CJ Stroud, where the quarterback situation has always been kind of iffy in Dallas. With I'm personally myself, you guys heard me say it since the beginning of time, that even when they gave him that massive deal, I'm like, that is not the right move to keep Dak Prescott. Now it's kind of, they're like, oh, let's just let him finish out the rest of his contract. Anyways, back to the Houston Texans, and Paul and I joked about this where, ooh, you guys, all of you longtime listeners too, first of all, thank you for sticking around the last 2.5 years and listening to me talk about sports. But you guys know it's been about 2.5 years since I've been telling you that all the glory that was the Buffalo Bills era has been on the downward, you know. Hey, anything's going to happen, and we'll see what happens in this draft, but for the most part,
as long as they have Josh Allen, like, I know whatever your feelings are on Josh Allen, Josh Allen is a top 5 quarterback, top 3 quarterback, yeah, most years in the NFL, so as long as they have him, you can't count him out. But this is a massive move, Ku.
Oh, it's huge. And like I said, in Buffalo, his production did dip a little bit. I know they, whatever, want to throw out there, just attitude and whatnot, and whatever they say about players. But I mean, solid wide receiver. He's proven what he can do, especially when he was in Minnesota. Obviously, like I said, 30 years old. But when you have a quarterback like CJ Stroud that's tossing you the rock, and if you're someone like Stephon Diggs who is going into a new environment with a young quarterback who I'm sure that he respects right away, I mean, as a player, it already gives you kind of like that extra boost, because you don't want to, you're going into a situation that is really, really good. Houston already proved that they were really competitive last year, and they've only made moves so far in the offseason. Phenomenal coach in D'Amico Ryans going into his second year. And if you're a young player like that, that maybe was struggling with the fit down the stretch in one organization, but you get plopped into an entirely new environment, like, I am going to go out there and assume that his production is going to go up, and it's going to, everyone in Buffalo is going to be like, man, what happened to this guy? And now Houston gets this solid, true wide receiver one in Stephon Diggs, because he's in that new environment. He, you know, hey, guy's got some ego too. He doesn't want to be the reason why they don't do well, because, and you let your young quarterback down in this situation. So they're going to be scary next year.
I, you know, shout out to the Texans. They have really, truly revolutionized themselves, and it, with a unique idea. I wish anybody else in the league had thought of hiring a San Francisco 49ers defensive coordinator and drafting a quarterback second overall. Clearly, that's the recipe to success. Oh, the, sorry, someone is telling me that the New York Jets did that and it didn't work. Oh, gotcha. No, shout out to the Texans for doing it the right way, giving C.J. Stroud every opportunity to be successful. Obviously, a phenomenal rookie season. The offensive rookie of the year was in MVP conversations all the way up until the end. He was outstanding for the Texans. They made the playoffs. They shredded the NFL's number one defense. Like, they're a good team. You have Nico Collins there along with Tank Dell. Not to mention this offseason they signed Joe Mixon, plus they still have Devin Singletary. They're scary. Plus the defense, I know I joke about, oh, revolutionary, blah, blah, blah.
Defense.
The defense is good, and D'Amico Ryans is a dude. Like, he knows ball when it comes to the defensive side of it. They're a scary team in the AFC, especially in that AFC South where, I mean, I don't want to say they're going to dance to a division title pretty easily, but the Titans obviously on the mend, on a rebuild. Will Levis, you don't really know what he is quite yet. Last year, you really liked what you saw from the Colts and Anthony Richardson, but guess what? Anthony Richardson got hurt. And, you know, is that something that is going to continue on further? Is it something where he's just not as good as C.J. Stroud? Like, is it just that? Or is it maybe the other way around? Does he just need to stay healthy and, wow, the Colts really got the better guy? I'm excited to see what the AFC South is. And then, obviously, you have the Jaguars. I don't want to forget about them because also went on a crusade defending Trevor Lawrence on social media. But I truly believe that because...
I thought you put it that way. I went on a crusade.
I did. I was defending him against all these people because Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback, too. This is a guy who dealt with shoulder and ankle and, I mean, the laundry list of injuries this past season. Still threw for 4,000 yards. Mm-hmm. Still had what would be statistically the best Jets season. Trevor Lawrence, another good quarterback. So you've got a bunch of good quarterbacks. And then Will Levis, who, to his credit, I know I said he didn't prove himself, but he had some flashes last year where you looked at it and you're like, oh, now, wait a second here. Maybe Tennessee is kind of on to something. And with the signing of Calvin Ridley, it's going to be a really fun division this year. So you needed to, if you were the Texans, not just sit idle, and you needed to continue to give your young MVP candidate some more weapons. And that's exactly what they did for a pretty cheap price.
Yeah, and this is entirely the win now scenario. And as you were just saying, when you look at AFC South, you got Texans, Colts, Jags, Titans, and collectively, I would say the Texans on paper are by far the best team. And when you look at ESPN,
it's just hard not to feel that way.
ESPN stats and info, when it comes to Stephon Diggs, as we mentioned, his productivity took a dip in the second half of the season for Buffalo. But according to the stats and info, he's led the NFL in receptions during the last four seasons with the Bills. So he has 445 receptions. Second would be Devontae Adams with 441. And third would be Tyreek Hill for 436. So, and that's with him, quote unquote, taking a dip last season. But I 100% believe that he's not going to he wants to live up to his wide receiver one hype. And knowing that the playoffs are, quote unquote, easy for them to get into, as barring any injury, of course, and that, hey, going far in the playoffs is very, very realistic for this team. because you look at just what their offense looks like now on top of, like, with C.J. Stroud, of course. They have, we said, Joe Mixon, and you said Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and then tight end Dalton Schultz. So that is a nice little bag of goodies that C.J. Stroud has. And he's just, he's already a solid quarterback. And then, like we said, the defense, and you have the best guy at the head coaching position to coach the defense. And they just look like a solid team. Shout out to the Houston Texans fans out there. I don't think I know any here in Hawaii, so
I don't know if I know any in general, to be quite honest. Yeah. Even so, shout out to them because they really are doing, like I said, doing right by your young quarterback. And you mentioned the winning window. How many times have I talked about, I mean, it's the reason why the Bears traded Justin Fields, where you feel you can upgrade at quarterback, sure, but also you get that rookie scale contract for your quarterback. It gives you the resources to kind of spend that money elsewhere on your roster, and that's exactly what they're doing now, the Texans, that is, where you see them trade for a Stephon Diggs, though a $31 million dead cap hit for the Bills, the largest ever for a non-quarterback. It continues an off-season of change for Buffalo. Obviously, they had all the releases pre-free agency to work with the salary cap, and it is curious to waste a year of Josh Allen's prime to kind of reset the salary cap and whatnot. It's a big time move that will have some shockwaves throughout the NFL, I think, because now the Bills, are they the favorite in the AFC East anymore? I mean, their wide receiver core is Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, shout out Boise State in the Mountain West, and a rookie maybe? I don't, like, who else? Gabe Davis is leaving in free agency. Like, the Bills,
you know,
have a
surprisingly,
lot of questions.
If we're going by actual favorites and odds, the Bills are still quite up there, surprisingly, at least according to BetMGM.
Goes back to the Josh Allen conversation before of top 3 to 5 quarterback. Yeah. You're always going to believe in your chances. Yeah. But it's a lot of questions for the Bills this year. I'm curious to see how it plays out for them. The Texans continuing to try and capitalize on this window over the next 5 years that they've got. They go out, grab another number one receiver, because Nico Collins and Tank Dell both were phenomenal last year before going down with injuries. Tank Dell looked like a number one guy at times for C.J. Stroud, especially with the chemistry those two developed right off the bat. So I'm really excited. You mentioned how Stephon Diggs could probably blow his numbers back up in Houston. Part of that is because he has those other wide receivers, those other skill players to take some focus off of him. And also, now I don't have to see that guy twice a year in Stephon Diggs. So it's a win-win for me.
It works out all around. And then looking at the Houston Texans, they don't have a pick in the first round, and that their highest pick in the 2024 NFL draft is that 42nd pick from Minnesota. So in round two, and then Buffalo, let's see, they pick 28th. In the first round to see what they do with that. So it is kind of interesting that the odds have not skewed too much, not even in Houston's favor. They are still behind, and this is another more of a double down on the quarterback situation, because you still have the Bengals at 14-1 ahead of the Texans, who are at 15-1. But again, you have someone like Joe Burrow that's there, and no matter what's going on around him, as long as he's healthy,
he made a Super
Bowl,
guys.
Yeah, you're always going to give him that extra chance. And CJ Stroud, seeing what we saw last year, there's always going to be some, okay, maybe this was just an amazing first year that he had, and you never know what's going to happen in,
what do they call it?
In
the
sophomore
second year. Slump, right?
Exactly. So, but we'll see with Stephon Diggs being there. But odds, when I look at the via BetMGM, everything kind of looks the same. You still got the Niners at plus 550 to win
Where
it all.
Teams?
The Chiefs, Chiefs at plus 650 to win it all, and plus 325 to win the AFC. 49ers plus 220 to win the NFC. Our teams, you got
fair.
The Jets at 25-1 to win the Super Bowl, 15-1 to win the AFC, and the Bears are at 40-1 to win the Super Bowl, 18-1 to win the NFC. So, and it's not too bad.
Not as bad. Bears, I thought right the Jets would be 30-1, so.
That's where Michael's team is at with the Rams.
Boom, right in the middle.
Yeah, that 30-1, right ahead of the Bears, and 14-1 to win the NFC. So it'll be It'll be a fun time.
Is it football season yet?
It'll feel like it probably
next
two
week.
Two weeks maybe.
Next week we'll probably get a flurry of moves, last flurry of moves before the draft.
Because it's the last week of this month, right?
I believe so,
the NFL draft, so it'll usually 2 weeks ahead of time.
I didn't put it on my calendar yet. Bad job by me.
We'll start, once we start seeing more and more new, well, it'll be all in our face on the
Twitter. You know it. Maybe we'll release a mock draft this year. Maybe that'll be a fun idea. We'll talk about it.
After hours slash podcast version of that.
Can.
Built by Radio. We'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
It's Wake Up in the Den, Ku'ule Agbayani and Paul Brecht. What do you got to do? Shake it off. The HPU Sharks, that is, in their 10-1 loss to the University of Hawaii at Manoa at the Les Murakami Stadium last night. And it was still a good game for the Sharks to experience, of course. And shout out to Rich Hill and the University of Hawaii for really taking the season and welcoming in the Division II local schools to play each other. And I know Paul reminded me of this yesterday during the game, that Rich Hill isn't planning to take it easy on any of the schools. I think the only thing that he's doing differently is that they, at least that's what he did yesterday, is
it's like
every single inning has a new pitcher. So that's probably the only thing.
Game or whatever, right?
Yeah, the bullpen game, which I understand. So that's kind of the version of taking it easy, but at the same time, is it though? Because an HPU can't adjust to any of the pitchers, so that's why
it's hard.
Yeah, it's harder for it to, but they're putting their hitters out there. They did have some illness, so not entirely who fans are used to seeing were out there, but for the most part, I mean, you just look at the final score at 10-1, they were doing the Rainbow Warriors were doing what we're so accustomed to, just get runners on and score runs. They did have a home run though, so.
Yeah,
it was just
a bomb. Too.
I know,
holy
you texted
cow.
Us by Jake Tsukada. It was just bomb. Was it to right?
Right field. It went through one of the trees out there, and I would assume it went across the street. The trajectory would have put it across the street. It went into the tree, so I don't know if it actually made it there. I would assume so, because Tsukada gave it a ride, and overall, you're right. It was exactly what we've come accustomed to seeing from the Rainbow Warriors, working counts, playing small ball early on. I mean, back-to-back infield hits. They challenge in the very first inning there to load the bases up, put two across there. And even so, I think the score isn't as indicative of how competitive HPU was throughout the night. And that was something that Dane told me. Coach Fujinaka chatted with me post-game, and it's something that he was talking about where, yeah, it sucks to lose. That's never... He's competitive as all get out, as every single player and coach should be. But also, it wasn't like last night was a failure. It's not like last night was something that they look at and they're like, damn, like, why did we do that?
Yeah.
No, it was a really cool experience. And it was nice to see the fans come out for it too. Even on a pretty rainy night, on and off.
I was watching it on Spectrum here as I was running the board for the guys. I was like, oh, there's the rain coming down. And when you look at, you know, the HPU side and just their pitching, also got to experience playing against hitters that are very, very smart. Not exactly big hitters when they step up to the plate, but they just, as we mentioned,
know
how to put the ball in play. So, you have to be really strategic with your placement and be able to try to get those strike. Jordan Ochin was charged with the loss, but they went through, let's see, 2, 4, 5 more pitchers after that for HPU. So it was good to kind of see that rotation going. But before we hear from Coach Dane Fujinaka, here is what Rich Hill had to say about his squad in that game.
Well, you almost stuck perfectly with your plan of a pitcher in inning, but why'd you bring Gonzalez up?
I want Gonzo to kind of get some confidence, get in a rhythm. He's got a bright future, and, we haven't really been able to use him a lot, and I wanted him to go back out and do better than he did the inning before, But it's about 29 or 30 pitches, and then once he hit that guy, it was going to be another – 20-pitch inning, so we decided to get Miles in there.
And was this tonight sort of an audition to see who makes the road trip?
A couple guys, yeah.
Anybody sort of stood out that you could think could get in there?
Well, I mean, I like what Corey Ronan did. Yeah. You know, I mean, he's, you know, really been biding his time and working extremely hard. You know, he kind of stood out to me tonight. You know, we'll go back and see who goes where.
You like that, no one sort of that back end pitching role, or
we're still trying to figure it out with everybody, really.
Was this a nice palate cleanser for you guys, Coach? Like just coming off?
Yeah, the yeah. That's you know, it's that's the great thing about baseball. That word tomorrow, you know, and I don't know how those football guys do it. Those NBA guys do it. You know, this is. You know, baseball, you can get right back out there. You know, and that's why we wore these uniforms. You know, I mean, we had to look them in the eye. You know, and get back, get these, you know, old schools. You know, back on a winning track. So it was great to get out here again.
What were your thoughts? Just you know, another crosstown team you guys have encountered this year, and
yeah, these teams, you know, are very scary. You know, they've got some athleticism. You know, I really like. You know, their lineup, you know, 1 through 9. You never know about the pitching midweek, you know, who's doing what and who they're saving, et cetera. But it's a very well-coached team. And, you know, this is, you know, super beneficial for us to play a quality team for an important Big West series.
The production you got from your 1 and 2 hitters, Jordan and Jake, what do you think about the way they're seeing the ball this year?
Yeah, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves with both those guys, you know. I think Jake is our hottest hitter. He's the guy that we want up there with runners in scoring position right now. And he's really turned the corner as a hitter. He's getting stronger. Maybe it's that college degree, you know, that got him his man strength. But been a pleasant surprise.
And then Ben batting cleanup now, and then Quant was kind of Jack Collins in the lineup. Talk about those guys.
Yeah, you know, Austin Machado was unavailable today because of illness, you know, so we bumped everybody up. I like Ben in that four hole in case he leads off. You know, he's got so many walks. His on-base percentage is so good. You know he's going to put the bat on the ball. Kyson has really started to emerge as well, so, you know, you want him in that RBI situation. Quant was an emergency guy, and, you know, we called that hit and run early in the game. I just wanted to swing a bat. You know, when he's aggressive, he's much better.
And I thought you guys had speed on the base pass. There's maybe like 6 throws where you guys beat them, and that kind of extended the inning for you guys.
Yeah, you know, speed kills. It comes to the ballpark every day.
So Austin's still making the trip, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So 2 pretty big Big West series coming up. I know you've talked a little about staying on the road during that, mm-hmm. but yeah, how important do you think it is for your guys to, you know, stay together during that trip?
Well, yeah, that it's great if you're a college student, right? I mean, let's get on a plane and get a bunch of meal money and hang out with your buddies and play baseball, you know. So that can really bring a team together, you know, as far as being a big series and what wins mean and everything else. I don't really know anything about that. What I do know is that we're trying to improve every day, you know, and trying to find some answers to the test still, you know, still so early.
That was UH baseball head coach Rich Hill following last night's 10-1 win over HPU, and you know, he's the winning coach. It's so funny how like the so relaxed and after like a kind of a easy win for the Rainbow Warriors, didn't have to overmanage too much. Still, the game went exactly 3 hours.
I was gonna say it didn't have to overmanage, but still managed the way that we love near and dear to our heart. Coach Rich Hill.
But they do go on the road for a extensive road trip starting with UC Davis in a couple of days, 11:30 a.m. Hawaii time. So they won't be back for about 2 weeks. We won't see them back for their next home game. But for HPU, they get right back to action and get to play at the Les again this weekend against the University of Hawaii Hilo. But this is what HPU head coach Dane Fujinaka had to tell our Paul Brecht following the game last night.
Coach, you guys end up falling, but in all, put up 7 hits, get some traffic on base, just unable to bring those guys home. What did you see today from your team here inside Les Murakami Stadium?
Yeah, I thought we came ready to go. Couple hits in the first inning didn't go our way. And I think you mentioned, like, you know, it's bang bang plays that you know, they ultimately their speeds kind of took over there, and our pitchers did a good job keeping us in that game. And offensively, you know, we left a lot of guys on base, but, you know, had really good at bats with two outs early in the game, and just couldn't get those hits to fall. You know, I think those hits fall, it's a little bit different ball game in the middle of that game there. So, but yeah, I'm proud of our guys. I thought we competed well today.
What can your guys take most from today's game against Hawaii? Obviously, seeing a bunch of different pitchers for the Bows today. I think it's 8 in total, perhaps even 9. How much can today help your team going forward as you guys come down this home stretch?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think on the mound specifically, we got a ton better. You know, they forced us to make quality pitches with two strikes. Forced us to make quality pitches with guys on base, and ultimately, you know, that's the difference, right? Is they were able to capitalize on those moments, and you know, we obviously need to be better at that, and I truly think that we got better all around as a baseball club tonight, and you know, you're gonna do that by playing good teams like the University of Hawaii. They're solid all around, defensively, pitching, offensively. They're gonna make you earn everything, and you know, I love the way we competed tonight, and I think we definitely got better.
This is not the only time you guys will play here at Les Murakami Stadium. You guys will come back this weekend, Sunday. You have, I believe, a doubleheader against UH Hilo, and then you guys also come back here to end out the season against Chaminade. How much are your guys looking forward to that, and what is the biggest key going into Sunday for you guys to kind of flip the script now going back against the Division II opponent?
Yeah, honestly, this was huge, being able to play here and get used to the park before conference play starts back up on Sunday against Hilo, because as you can see, like, I mean, the wind was crazy today. That was wild. I don't remember the wind ever being like that. And but it's huge for our guys to be able to get comfortable in this park and playing on turf with this wind, and, you know, it was huge. So I think our guys got a little bit more comfortable today, and excited to get back after it on Sunday.
And last question for you, just one more thing about the atmosphere here playing at Les Murakami Stadium. A lot of local guys on the team, you know, local guy yourself. What was it like being able to actually compete in the marquee stadium here in Hawaii?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, I'm very thankful that, you know, Rich and you know, UH, you know, it was able to play us this year. I think it's tremendous for Hawaii baseball, and obviously a great experience for us and our kids and myself included, you know, being able to play here under the lights and with, you know, our home fans on both sides is awesome.
Awesome, Coach. Thank you so much.
That was Dane Fujinaka, head coach of the HPU Sharks baseball team. And yeah, in relatively, we kind of chuckled at it earlier where, you know, he's a very, very competitive guy. He made reference to it too. And so it was when Paul first sent me the interview last night, I kind of had a smirk on my face because I'm like, I think this is like the most relaxed and not angry that we will ever encounter Dane following a loss, because yeah. I mean, he knows, like, that he's a baseball guy. He knows when he looked just like everyone else. I mean, I'm not even at the level of understanding baseball like you guys or obviously Coach Dane, and even I can see, like, dang, this, like, UH baseball team is really, really good. So he's going in there. He has a solid squad as well, coming off of a 5-game win streak. But you just know going into a game, like, this team is just better. They're just better. Like, and there's nothing wrong with that, because they should be. They're Division I with the resources, as you mentioned during the recording when we were off air. But it was, yeah, like I said, I had to have a little chuckle because knowing how competitive Dane is, and he even admitted to it when he joined us in studio before, where that's the most calm and with a smile on his face that we'll ever get from Coach Dane following a loss. So it's just kind of funny.
Yeah, competitive guy overall, yeah. But also he's a realistic guy. He goes into last night understanding a bunch of his players are under the weather. His team has gone through injuries. If you haven't listened to the broadcast quite yet, it is up on wherever you get your podcasts usually, or on our website, HawaiiSportsRadio.com. But our guys talk a little bit about it. You hear it in the pregame chat where you lose Scott Armstrong in week three of the season. Mm-hmm. That's your top pitcher. And then no Ryan Inouye last night. You also, who's your closer and your probably hardest thrower. You're losing your starting catcher and Ian Wolski.
Yeah. I didn't even know. When I heard the guy say that in the broadcast, I was like, no, Ian Wolski? Oh,
yep.
Man.
With a broken hand. And it's just all of those things piled on top of the fact that you're right. Yeah, I mean, anybody with eyes can see it. This UH team is good. And it's not just that they're good. They're very fundamentally sound. They work counts. They play small ball. They don't make errors. And you could see it from the first inning that HPU was just half a tick too slow to begin. And that's all that Hawaii needs. They put up two runs in the bottom of the first inning, and from there, it's all they really needed to do, continue to bring runners home. I thought it was a nice job by the Sharks, though, continuing to get some traffic on the base paths throughout the night. And at the end of the day, they just didn't come up with the big hit that brought them home. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that they suck or they're bad or any of this. It just wasn't their night against the team that they needed their best stuff against.
Yeah, no, they competed against final score, UH Manoa over HPU 10-1, but HPU was able to get seven hits and played clean baseball, each team just one error apiece. So when you look at that final box score, if you are Coach Dane, you're like, all right, and he said it in the post game, we can be proud of our guys for that experience. Now, this weekend will be another story as they host University of Hawaii Hilo, who... That was just, well, as I was talking about how Dane doesn't get mad, and I remember him saying that he got tossed in a Hilo game before. So that's a fun transition.
Don't get tossed this weekend.
So we'll see what happens this weekend when they play the University of Hawaii Hilo at the Les Murakami Stadium. All right, we're going to step aside. When we come back, I'm going to change it up. When we come back, we'll talk some University of Hawaii football. Get you a little updated with what's going on over there. And Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
Oi, oi, oi.
We'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Hey, fill up in the clouds on that Sunday sunset. You taught me how.
Welcome back to all of you, the beautiful list of all the beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. Alongside Paul Brecht, I'm Ku'ule Agbayani. Mahalo to you for tuning in this and every weekday morning on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM, AM 760, and HawaiiSportsRadio.com. We were just talking HPU baseball versus UH Manoa. Want to make sure we tell you guys that coming up this afternoon, we will have HPU softball doubleheader action versus Academy of Art out at Howard A. Okita Field. Coming up right after this show, we will go straight into Seattle Mariners baseball, taking on the Cleveland Guardians. So it's a packed day. Got baseball first, followed by some local softball. We got Paul Brecht making his HPU play-by-play for softball debut.
Hello.
With Michael Lescaro getting those reps in. Welcome, Michael, calling a D2 college game. Woo!
Full time on Monday, calling D2 softball by Wednesday. It's going to be fun time. Really excited for that one. And it's a big matchup for HPU, a team who at 6-16 right now on a 2-game win streak. They won yesterday, swept a doubleheader against Academy of Art, have another twin bill today. Hoping to
don't
keep
ruin
that
the
going.
Win streak.
Don't want to ruin the win streak. Academy of Art obviously going to come out with some fire, trying to snap what is a 21-game losing streak currently.
Don't jinx that. But tune in, you guys. Broadcast will begin just before 1 o'clock this afternoon, barring any weather delay. It looks good on this side, but as you guys know, you go through the mountain and it's a whole nother animal on the windward side. So we're going to hope for the best that the games go on, but be sure to follow us on social media if you're able to get all the updates. All right, going to some University of Hawaii football news. We got an Aussie punter coming in. James Rendell was announced yesterday, joins the Rainbow Warriors for 2024. 6'6" 225-pound punter. What? I had to keep looking at it. And ironically, so I saw like the Warrior All Access graphic, and they on the graphic they have him at 6'5", 198, and then they kind of did like a little asterisk on the bottom, and they said their mistake, James's measurements are actually 6'6", 225.
And put him at linebacker. Tight end. Put him at tight end.
How is that a punter?
I mean, like, put him at tight end.
How big is this guy, Pat McAfee?
6'3".
Okay. Because I was like, I know, like, when he was, like, punting, he was kind of a bigger punter. But, dang.
His nickname is Thor. So it's makes sense that he is, he's a pretty big fella. 6'6", 220, you said? Is that what the weight was? I'm serious.
225.
Yeah, put him at linebacker. Put him at tight end. Let Logan Taylor take his time coming back from that ACL tear. I mean, oh my goodness, what a guy. And I'm excited to see what Coach Chef can do. Chef has shown, one, that he can develop the absolute daylights out of a punter, and two, he likes working with guys with funny nicknames like that. Because if you remember Jamie Gillen as well, he worked with him. He hit some bombs as punts too. So excited to see this. Did see that, one of the transfers for the University of Hawaii football team, the punter kicker.
Cameron Sharanji.
Thank you for saying his last name. I was too worried to say it. I knew his first name was Cameron. I could not say his last name. He did re-enter the transfer portal after spending spring ball with Hawaii. Obviously, something that originally when he committed, I'm sure, had a much clearer spot to that punting job and perhaps even the kicking job. Mm-hmm. Now with a guy, once again, Thor, who can hit it the thunder from down under, it's going to be fun to see him punt and be developed by mm-hmm. Coach Sheffield and this Rainbow Warriors staff.
And like you said, the nickname of this new punter that is Thor just fits right into the personality and MO that is Coach Chef. And
they're going to be best friends. We're going to like walk up one day.
He posted something of his son, of Cannon, like basically doing a WWE, like,
I think I saw.
I think it was obviously a Rock quote. Oh my gosh, I have to
go
look
well,
it up
because he also had the Zoa tag in
That's
there
why,
as well.
Yeah.
No free ads. but I did see it as well because I chuckled at it. Even so, the energy in the special teams room will be even more this year. And that's exciting too because you saw how much energy both the offense and the defense had last year. And it felt at times where the special teams lagged behind, whether just big plays and mm-hmm. with that extra oomph behind where Chef can actually get his message through where it's, and this is me, this is my personal thing. I consider the punter the quarterback of the special teams.
Hey,
so
well, it's all about the placement. So yeah.
So in that sense, it's the same way Timmy probably can get his message through Braden. I would be able to expect Sheffield to be able to get his message through Thor, baby. So
I still can't get over his size. Like, that's humongous for a punter.
I'm
6'6", 225. I'll say that again for you guys. Again, 6'6", 200. Maybe he can play on the line, too.
Honestly, I didn't even think about that. He's a tight end, too. He's a sixth offensive lineman. Like, know your role and shut your candy mouth.
That's what Coach Chef had his little son Cannon, who is like 2 years old, I think, around that age.
Cannon looks like such a menace. Like he
is a menace.
Oh, I love him.
He's so funny.
He's
a little hockey thug.
Oh God, he and I are gonna cause so much trouble at Rainbow Warrior games.
Well, he's always the one after games too, like running around like randomly throughout the field and like just going wherever. He's just having a good old time. But oh my goodness, shout out to those kids, they're so fun. But
they really are.
The University of Hawaii football team, though, there's been a lot of just action. Maybe we can go through our list tomorrow or Friday. But even on here, you have some unofficial visits. Milo Davis, class of 2026, a 6'4", 225-pound defensive end or offensive tackle. It's always interesting when you see, like, the high school kids because they always play on both sides. Out of California, you saw some offers go out. So definitely been busy so far in the offseason and looking forward to more and more things. But that's probably the news, the main news that has come out so far when it comes to the University of Hawaii football team, in that they are getting someone new. Also, some official or other official visits. Robbie Whalen, class of 2026. Ooh, 4.0 GPA. 6'3", 296-pound lineman. Ooh, out of Utah. See? Look. 6'3", 296. It's kind of shorter than our punter.
Shorter than the punter, but a little more weight to him.
Crazy.
A little more.
I will never get. I'm so interested to meet this punter in person just to see like how big he really is.
I'm
like,
gonna love it.
Like if there's no inflation of the measurements.
I feel like they're not inflating the measurements if Warrior All Access had to put out a correction to up both of them, be like 6'6", 225. That means he's gotten bigger. That's just the last recorded size that they could find. That would be my guess.
All right, here it is. The Warrior All Access people making our job a lot easier. Shout out Warrior All Access. Follow them at Warrior Access or go to warriorallaccess.com. They have the list. I missed this tweet earlier. I should probably retweet it. I missed it where they have a list of the March University of Hawaii football offers. Fullerton College defensive lineman Jordan Crawford. Ventura College defensive tackle James Gillespie. Cisco College, so a couple of JUCO guys, or a few JUCO guys, lineman Jaden Nguyen. And the high school 2025 kids, Braden Bays, defensive lineman DB Aiden Napke. Quarterback Uluaki Tau Kiuvea, class of 2025. Another 2025 kid, defensive end Justice Taufa, and a 2026 kid in Sinai Thomas. So thanks to Warrior All Access for getting me that. And then I got to go look them all up so that we can get all the measurements because that's always key to see. Oh, yeah. Sinai Thomas is a wide receiver, by the way. I was wondering, like, oh, do we have any, like, receiver guys on here? But
I mean, we've hit the receiver pool pretty hard in general.
And we have solid receivers.
Well, I was going to say, not like we don't have dudes coming back and Stephen McBride and Pafele Ashlock and so on and so forth. You brought in DeKal Crowdis from Kentucky and I could go down the list.
It's looking good.
Alex Perry is 6'5 guy. Is it football season yet?
Dang it.
No,
so
it
close,
is not.
But yet so far. All right.
Still have more March Madness, so I'll get my basketball fix at least.
Got to take a break. When we come back, we will close it out with some basketball talk next on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuhle Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
It's Wake Up in the Den, Kuhle Agbayani and Paul Brecht. All right, closing out the show. Other big news to come down the pipe as we were down the home stretch of college basketball, but people were waiting on her decision, and we talked about her extensively yesterday. And yeah, lo and behold, on this Manawahine Wednesday, that LSU's Angel Reese has declared for the 2024 WNBA draft, foregoing her final year of eligibility at LSU, joining the likes of Caitlin Clark, Cameron Brink. It's going to be a fun, and the WNBA draft tickets are already sold out. So it's sold out a while ago, and in case anybody was curious on wanting to attend. So it'll be a fun draft season. You know, all projections have Caitlin going number one, but other than that, we'll see where everybody is. You know, so Indiana, I forgot to bring this up, actually did like the smartest thing ever.
They tweeted about
season tickets. I'm like, genius marketing. It was when Caitlin broke the record, I think.
I think so.
Somewhere around there.
They've continued to kind of hammer home the, hey, by the way, we have the first overall pick. You can buy season tickets. Every time Caitlin does something crazy, or you know, she had 41 against LSU and breaking 73 records and whatnot. They've done a good job because her and Aaliyah Boston together.
Oh, my girl Aaliyah Boston. I know we've talked about that before, that that's going to be insane taking a look where that is, but Indiana Fever does have the number one overall pick. If we take a look at the latest mock draft via ESPN.com, yes, Caitlin Clark to Indiana. The LA Sparks have the number two pick and are projected, or at least in this mock, to take Cameron Brink, the Stanford forward, standing at 6'4". Chicago Sky will take the Tennessee forward. My apologies, Paul. Do you know how to say her name? Rekaya Jackson? Is it Rekaya Jackson?
Yes.
Okay, Rekaya Jackson. LA Sparks get another pick at number four. Camila Cardoso. That's going to be... Ooh, that'll be
this draft's
solid
pretty
for
stacked,
the Sparks.
By the way.
Of course, center for South Carolina. Dallas Wings, Aaliyah Edwards, the UConn power forward standing at 6'3". Washington Mystics take... Oh, Australian small forward Nia Dew Poach. Small forward standing at 6'3".
You're not going to get any help from me on that one. I apologize.
And then Angel Reese projected in this mock draft to go number 7 overall to the Minnesota Lynx. So it's going to be a fun draft and just fun overall for women's basketball. As we, Paul and I were kind of talking during one of the breaks, when you look at some of the ratings that have come out via Front Office Sports is where I first saw it tweeted. And it's almost like one of those things that was not surprising, where the Elite Eight matchup between Iowa and LSU in the NCAA women's basketball tournament averaged 12.3 million viewers, which was more than every women's college basketball game ever, every ESPN college basketball game ever, every MLB game last season, every NHL game last season, every MLS game last season, every NBA game last season except one, every CFB regular season game last season except one.
Yeah. It's crazy. Who would have ever expected?
And more than all of the games in the World Series last year.
Who would have ever expected? There really is an appetite for women's sports, women's basketball, to support the superstars, to support even the non-superstars, to support just sports in general. People like sports. Cool. This is breaking news to me. I have never heard that before, and I just can't believe that it took us this long to finally invest in March Madness for the women's side. Shout out to Sedona.
Dang it, Paul, you stole my thing.
Take it then.
I was like, okay, I'm going to mention it right when Paul wraps up his thought.
But shout out to Sedona, yeah. And I want you to tell the beautiful people why.
This Manawahine Wednesday, probably the one that should be most celebrated, at least right now, on this Manawahine Wednesday, is Sedona Prince. Ooh, already messed that up. Sedona Prince, who used to be with Oregon, but she was the one that... I tweeted it in quotations, because it's not to say that obviously there hasn't been phenomenal women's basketball players in college and all of what they've contributed to the sport. But Sedona Prince was the one that went viral for posting a video about the NCAA, the comparison between the treatment of the women's basketball players and the men's basketball players in the NCAA tournament three years ago?
It's like COVID-ish times.
Yeah,
I would say
right.
Three,
oh, yeah, maybe
probably.
2021, I think, is when, yeah, she posted it, and basically showing what the women get for their gym at locations, which was just a one rack with dumbbells that were really, really light. And the men get like multiple squat racks and weights all over and this open space to work out. And the NCAA tried to say, oh, there's no spacing, to which she showed the spacing that their little weights were on. And then from there, they started, obviously, they got a lot of backlash, as they should. And that's kind of where the investment started into women's basketball. And then lo and behold, we are where we are now. They put more women's games, they put them on all the ESPN platforms, and now more people are watching it because it's there and it's entertaining. And even though they don't always make the best choices with their talent at ESPN TV, oh my gosh, the talent that they have with the women's games in the studio.
It's phenomenal.
Holy cannoli.
It is on par of, like, everybody loves the TNT crew who with, like, Charles Barkley, Shaq, Ernie, all them. It's on par with that in terms of their chemistry, their knowledge, all of that. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. And just pure entertainment. Know how to be fun when they are, but not. I like to think of it like our show. Know how to be fun, but not goofy. Still respectable. But shout out Manawahine Wednesday. Gotta go for Paul Brecht. I'm Kule Agbayani. Mahalo for listening. Bye.